The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here I am, dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.'" So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But his father ordered his servants, "Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fatted calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound." He became angry. And when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf." He said to him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul was, of course, one of the very first ministers of the church in providing our epistle reading for this Laetare Sunday. He wrote words that I could put in my own mouth quite easily today as a minister of the church and say to you, as I say to all, and especially every Lent, Christ has given me the ministry of reconciliation. So I am an ambassador for Christ, as if Christ was appealing through me. I implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We all sin after our baptism, unfortunately, but the Lord has provided his divine authority to his Catholic Church and given a ministry, a sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of penance. We often call the sacrament of reconciliation a sacrament which hopefully every Catholic will avail him or herself of at least once during the Lenten season. But there is a problem for many Catholics. And I would like to use the parable of the prodigal son to illustrate what I think that problem is. This is a very unique parable for many reasons, but one that I would point out is that there are two sons, and so one might assume that since Jesus often uses the teaching device, which we call the two ways, usually in a parable, a good person and a bad person, a right way of thinking, a wrong way of thinking, etc. Interestingly, in the two sons, we don't have a good one and a bad one. We don't have a perfect one and an imperfect one. We have two imperfect sons. And the father of the parable represents God, the Father. And he has a house and a household which represents the Catholic Church. And so I want you to think of this parable in terms of God the Father and the Catholic Church and two Catholics who have very, very deficient understandings of God and very, very impoverished ways of relating to God the Father. Maybe you will be able to identify with one or another, or both of them. What introduced this parable was the fact that Jesus was being criticized, as summed up in this statement. This man welcomes sinners. So to his critics, Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Give me the share of your estate that should come to me." That is a sort of polite way of saying, I am not willing to wait for you to die. I would wish that you were dead now, but since you're not, give me what I would otherwise get when you would die. You are dead to me. This son represents the Catholic, baptized into sonship in the Father, has grown up within the household of God, given every blessing, every grace and benefit, all of the sacraments, catechesis, knowledge of God, and yet comes to a point one day in which that Catholic says, God is dead to me now, and I want out of this Catholic Church. I'm going to leave. I'm going to take that which is mine and I'm out of here. And I'm going to go far away, since it says that he collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country. And there, far away from the church and from God, he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. The term inheritance is one often used in the New Testament to represent all that a Christian is given by God. Think of the phrase, inherit the kingdom of heaven. So this Catholic, through a life of sin and abandonment of God, the sacraments, and the church, blows all of the graces that he has received. He goes into a state of mortal sin. And some Catholics do this. Maybe they leave their parents' home and then stop going to Mass. They go to college and they get into a debaucherous lifestyle. Or they simply become so worldly that they are basically living as a pagan, pursuit of the world and pleasure, wealth and power and glory. Maybe they get into a lifestyle of alcohol or drugs, promiscuity, etc. That Catholic. And then the younger son, having blown everything, becomes desperate, finally hiring himself out to feed pigs, starving. And at that point, our Lord says, he came to his senses. So unfortunately, some people abandoning the faith and turning their backs on God the Father, treating him as if he were dead, though of course God can never be dead. That one will need to hit, as we say, rock bottom. That person will need to become so extraordinarily miserable that they come to their senses. And they reflect, here I am dying. Note that the younger son is not dead, but he is dying. So too, the Catholic in such a state is spiritually dying and will end up in the death of eternal hell unless he comes to his senses and says, I'm going to go back. I am going to get up and go back to my Father, and I am going to say to him, Father, I have sinned. This Saturday, I am going to get up and go and stand in line and go to confession, and I'm going to say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Through the sacrament of reconciliation, such a one may be restored to friendship with God in his household. And so the younger son in the parable does just that. He gets up, he leaves the pigs, he leaves the distant country, that Catholic leaves that way of life, those sins, and he makes the journey back to God in his church. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. The father is filled not with anger, not with hurt, with mercy, with compassion. I want you to remember that. We will return to it in a moment. So he makes his confession, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. But the father immediately orders, bring the finest robe and put it on him, a ring on his finger, and sandals on his feet. Commenters on this parable have asked the question over the centuries, what are symbolized by the robe and the ring and the sandals? And the answer is this. They symbolize the restoration of graces that the Catholic possessed but lost, such that when any one of us would make a good confession, we do not return to a lesser state within the church, within God's household, and we also do not return to a reduced state of relationship with God the Father. We go all the way back to where we were originally, when we were baptized, when we were full of grace. So, a celebration begins. And now the parable turns to the second son, the older one, who is out working in the field. And returning towards the house, he hears something strange. Music and dancing, what is going on? And he is told, your brother has returned. Your father has slaughtered the fattened calf. He has him back safe and sound. So then what is the interior response of this man? It is anger. This is important because anger, as St. Thomas teaches, is the universal human response to perceived injustice. Whenever any of us perceive injustice, whether or not we're correct in our evaluation, but we think something is unjust, we get angry. So he believes that this is an unjust situation. The brother has taken half of the estate, got off, blown it, comes back, and there's a party for him? This is unjust. His father comes out to plead with him, not to be angry, but to share in his joy that the other son has returned. And the older son then addresses his father most disrespectfully. Again, think of this as a figure of a type of Catholic and their perspective towards God. Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. So this is not a Catholic who has left the church, left the sacrament, stopped going to Mass, is living a debaucherous lifestyle, is in a distant country. Where has this one just returned from? Working in the field of the estate. And did our Lord not often refer to the kingdom of God as being like a field? This is a Catholic who is laboring in the kingdom of God for the Father. Working hard, it seems, but there's yet something wrong here. His fundamental way of relating to the Father, that is, of relating to God, is not as son to father, but rather as slave to master. You give orders, I obey. What I do is work for you, serve you. Now we know in the parable that there are hired men, right? The younger son thought, well, maybe I could just go back to the status of being a hired man, not a son. And this son, the older son, really just sees himself as one of his father's hired workers. This Catholic resents God because he does not appreciate his sonship, God's fatherhood. It's all about orders. It's only about obedience and work. And there's some resentment there. Now, of course, we must obey God. We must work for him in his field. But that must not be our only or even primary way of relating to God and seeing our relationship with him. So, I said earlier that as regards the message of reconciliation to God that a Christian minister must proclaim, there's a problem. What is the problem that I have in mind? Well, it relates to the fact that both the younger and older sons understand their father wrongly, and it is this: they only relate to him in terms of justice. Is God just? Yes. Is he merely just? Absolutely not. Quick review. What is justice when we are speaking about our sins, our faults, our crimes? Justice is giving one that which one is due. So let's use the example of a civil crime. Let us imagine that I am rushing to get to somebody who is dying to give them the last rites, and I get caught for speeding. I'm breaking the law. I've committed a crime, and the officer pulls me over, issues a ticket, and I have to go before the judge. Okay? If the judge says you were speeding, $100 fine, is that just? Yes, it is. Now, if he had said you were speeding 10 years in prison, that is unjust. But if you said, you know, Father, I understand you were trying to get to somebody who was dying, so no fine, just be careful. What's that? That's mercy. These two sons only see their father as just. The older son gets angry because he actually thinks the father is being unjust. Why? Because the father is actually merciful, and he doesn't understand that. He does not understand how merciful his father is. This Catholic does not understand how merciful God the Father is. But neither does the younger son, because when he came to his senses and thought, I'll go back to the household and to my father, he did not reason, Dad will take me back with a hug and a kiss, which he did. He said, I no longer deserve to be called your son. It is no longer just for me to be at the level of son, so give me a lower status. When he says, I don't deserve to be called your son, he's right. I mean, let's just acknowledge, you're right, kid. You don't deserve to be called his son. If your father was merely just, then maybe he'd give you a job. But the father is not merely just. He is also merciful, and far more merciful than the younger son anticipated, and far more merciful than the older son anticipated. You see? The problem for Catholics who need to reconcile themselves to God the Father is that we do not appreciate just how merciful God is. We don't. We can say we do. We don't. Why? Because we're so limited and small, our little minds cannot conceive that God would be that merciful. And this was brought home in an interesting exchange that occurred earlier this week. As I was teaching our OCIA class this last Wednesday night, my subject was penance, reconciliation, the sacrament of reconciliation, how to go to confession, how to make a good confession, all that is involved. And so, knowing that this Sunday's gospel was that of the prodigal son, I said, I'm going to use this as an absolutely perfect example of what all Catholics need to do. Sometimes go to confession, say, Father, I have sinned. Okay? So OCIA, if you don't know, is for adults who want to return to the household of God if they've been away, and they want the sacraments, they want the robe and the ring and the sandals, or they are going to be baptized and received into the church, such as catechumens. So we were having, I was giving this presentation, and I made examples of really extreme sins that, of course, can be forgiven in the sacrament of reconciliation. And a young lady, she said, I have a question about that. And I said, oh, okay. And she tried to formulate her question. And at the end of it, I said, I apologize. I'm not understanding what you're asking here. She said, okay. She tried to reformulate it. And in doing so, she made herself very vulnerable before the group, and I appreciated that humility. And at the end of the second attempt, I still had to say, I'm sorry, I don't quite know what your question is, but let me see it, let me try. It seems to me that you are having difficulty believing that God the Father would forgive anything such as the sins I was talking about with a simple confession, that it would be that easy and that the forgiveness would be that complete. And she said, yeah, that's it. I'm dumbfounded. And I said, that's good. That's a good dumbfoundedness. I said, okay, group, let's talk about this for a moment. This is precisely the point. We have such a difficulty appreciating that God the Father would be that merciful, just as these two sons, though they knew their father, could not believe that he would be that merciful. You mean to tell me that you can have multiple abortions of your own children and be forgiven? Yes. That you can be away from the household of God and have contributed nothing for 63 years and then one Saturday just show up and get a merciful embrace and be back? Yes. Yes. If there is a common criticism of the Catholic Church that I hear from older brother type bitter Catholics, it is this. I'm just tired of the Catholic Church's rules and regulations. You know, kind of that idea. All these years I've served you, never disobeyed your orders. All these rules and regulations, so oppressive. Okay, yeah. How many rules and regulations? What, like 7 precepts of the Church and 10 commandments? You can't do that? Give me a break. That's your excuse. That's your resentment. That's your problem. I don't buy that for a moment. But nevertheless, while I don't buy that criticism, one criticism that I would be very, very happy for the Catholic Church to have would be this one. The Catholic Church is too merciful. The Catholic Church welcomes sinners. What was the criticism of Jesus that introduced this parable? This man welcomes sinners. Yes, he did. The Catholic Church welcomes sinners. Yes, she does. So, in reply to that young lady at OCIA, I said, let me give you an image that comes through St. Faustina, from whom we get the devotion to Jesus' divine mercy. For she wrote that in one of the mystical revelations granted to her, our Lord used this phrase, the ocean of my mercy. Now, if you want to feel small, go to the ocean, right? And I said to this young lady, I said, any one of our sins is like a grain of sand dropped into the ocean of mercy. And maybe for some Catholics, we think, okay, God's mercy is real, it does exist, but it's probably more like a kiddie pool, and my sin is more like a fist-sized rock. No. No, it is not. God's mercy is unfathomably vast and deep, and our Lord goes to great pains to get us to appreciate that. I am just, but I am much more than just. I am merciful beyond your wildest dreams. Be baffled by my mercy. If you would only return to me with a humble and contrite heart and say, I have sinned, I will kiss you and hug you, not me, not Father Gilbaugh, okay, God the Father. I'm going to put a ring on your finger, sandals on your feet, a robe, and we're going to celebrate back in the house. Really? Really? The answer is yes. Jesus, it was said of him, that man welcomed sinners. And he did. And today, his Catholic Church welcomes sinners. And she does.